Welcome to Locked On Pistons, your daily Pistons podcast. I'm Duncan Smith, your host. You can follow me at Duncan Smith NBA. We're going to do something a little different today. We're going to dig into a Reddit mailbag I proposed in the Detroit Pistons Reddit this past weekend, doing a mailbag of sorts, and the people responded, and I'm pleased that the people responded. We've got a decent number of questions here. We might end up extending this into a two-parter. We'll see. If things go right, we might also have a big surprise for our listeners later this week, but we're going to keep that under wraps for now. We're going to jump right into the mailbag here. First question from Flea, F-L-E-A-A. He asks, how do you evaluate Andre Drummond's trade value? There are many centers in the trading block, cap space isn't plentiful now, and contending teams really can't fit his salary. Are there any lottery teams with space that would give up their 2017 first-round pick for him? My answer to that right now is I think that while he does certainly have trade value, I think that around the league, his abilities and what he brings to the table is perhaps respected more than Pistons fans might believe. I think that his trade value is reasonable, but I don't know if there are lottery teams that are interested in swapping a first-round pick for him, especially considering the price tag that would be coming their way. He's got $105 million coming to him over the next four seasons, and I don't know that there are any lottery teams that are particularly excited to foot that bill at this point in time. I think that Andre Drummond has the greatest value right now across the league, right where he's at with the Pistons. I think that if the Pistons are able to figure out a way to appropriately utilize him, especially on the offensive end, I think that he has the most value that he can offer right here in Detroit. Now, that said, Matt Moore from CBS Sports wrote this weekend about Andre Drummond's trade value. He has him actually as the 12th most valued player across the league. And that's including some prospective draft picks, for example. I think Markelle Fultz checked in at number two, number three, somewhere in the top three or so of that list. Around the NBA, Andre Drummond is definitely regarded as somebody that the teams would like to get their hands on. But with cap space being at a premium and not nearly the kind of cap room and versatility around the league that there was a year ago, I just think that teams are probably going to be more interested in staying hands off when it comes to Drummond. Flea has another question. He asks, any feel on whether Baines opts in or out? Will the Pistons bring him back if he doesn't get any offers above the max they can pay him, which is around $9 million per year? He goes on to say Van Gundy's rationale for the Boban signing was allegedly that the Pistons couldn't afford to keep Baines. So what if it turns out that they can afford to keep him? I would much rather just give the job to Boban. There's some good logic to that. I think the Pistons trust Aaron Baines a great deal more than they trust Boban. I think that's been demonstrated by the fact that Boban was very little more than a victory cigar at the end of games, at the end of blowouts, and then he got some extended minutes at the end of the season when Van Gundy expanded the rotations. So as a result, I think that if somehow or another Van Gundy had the option to choose between Baines and Boban, he would rather keep Baines around. So I think that if he doesn't get any if he opts out and doesn't get any offers, I do think that the Pistons would just go with Boban at the backup center position and wash their hands of Baines. I could be wrong about that, but that's kind of the impression that I'm getting, is that from that position, while Van Gundy prefers Baines, I think that he's prepared to move on and go with Boban in the future. However, I think that if Baines opts in, I think that that would be something that that pleases Van Gundy. And I think that in that case, I think that the next move then would be to trade Boban, and Baines would stay the backup center for the foreseeable future. There are a lot of things that Baines brings to the table that don't show up on box scores. It's something that he doesn't get a whole lot of credit for from Pistons fans, because, you know, his off the top of my head, I think his points per game and rebounds per game are both in the low fours. So that's not exciting when you've got a guy like Boban who's a 20-20 threat anytime you give him 20 minutes. The things that Baines did defensively, he was probably the best communicator on the Pistons' defense on the roster. He was very apt to call out screens, and you know, then you've got your perimeter players, your perimeter defenders, much less likely to run blind into rock solid screens set by opposing bigs. So there are a lot of things that Baines brings to the table that Boban doesn't. And I think that, you know, while Boban might be a fascinating project to throw out there and see what he can do, I think that from a defensive standpoint, which is kind of a priority, I think, out of a backup center, especially when your starting center is not a rim protector, as Drummond is not, I think that it's good to be able to throw that out there. Boban is, if you get him moving, you've got a layup a lot of the time. I think that as far as what the Pistons want to be able to do defensively, I think that Baines fits that much better. So it's more or less going to be in Baines' court as to what the Pistons' backup center situation is going to look like going forward. In a nutshell, if Baines opts out, I think that the Pistons will just wash their hands and do what they need to do, and Boban will be the center of the future in a backup respect. If Baines opts in, then I think Boban will probably be on the move. So thank you for the questions, Flea. We've got a question from mtommy2597. If you were to do a teardown of this team, who would you trade and who would you keep? First off, that's a good question. We could probably do an entire podcast on that, and we might actually at some point in the very near future, before the draft and free agency comes to pass. So we're going to address this briefly and probably come back to this in the future in a more fully rounded respect. If we were to do a teardown of this team, I think that Tobias Harris is a keeper. I think that KCP is a keeper. And I think you could go either way with Drummond. Again, it's difficult to tell exactly what kind of return you can get with Drummond. He's not a guy that you should sell low on. So should this be kind of a teardown, I think that might be a core that you keep. And then what gets weird with this team is keeping those three guys alone is going to provide you with about $70 million in salary. That's still two-thirds of your salary cap. It doesn't give you a whole lot of flexibility. And that's sort of a challenge when it comes to the kind of roster composition and salary cap allocation that this team has right now. It seems like a great thing a year ago when you had a young core locked in essentially across the board for the next 3 to 5 seasons. That's a really good thing when you're coming off a high like they were a season ago in 2015-16. You were really happy to have this core locked in for the foreseeable future. But then when the entire core plateaus or regresses across the board as they did last season, it becomes a little bit less enticing. So as far as a teardown goes, that it might even be a situation where you just go nuclear and you know, everybody is moved. As at the trade deadline last season, Stan Van Gundy made no bones about there's a price for everybody. Everybody is movable. Nobody's untouchable. Whether that would extend to everybody, whether a blow-up would include everybody, you know, it's hard to tell because a lot of these guys are at, like, all-time low as far as trade value goes. You know, Reggie Jackson right now, you couldn't fetch much for him on the trade market. Come February, that might be a different story. The hope is, of course, that everybody comes back and Reggie Jackson is better and everybody just magically fits again, like they did in 15-16. But as far as a teardown goes, that would be my core that I would keep. You know, again, it depends on how accurate the, say, Matt Moore's assertion that Andre Drummond is the 12th most sought-after player in the league. It depends on how accurate that is. You know, if there was to be a strong return for him on the trade market, then you throw Andre Drummond in there as well, and your keepers come down to Tobias Harris and KCP. KCP you keep because he's young and there's the hope that his biggest leap remains in front of him. Whether that's the case or not, we're really going to have to see. With Tobias Harris, he's got a declining contract. He's better than most people think on both sides of the ball, actually. And there's value there that I think is untapped. He's gotten better every season, and I think that with the youth between them, I think they're both going to be 24 by the time the season starts. They're youthful, but they're also seasoned veterans by this point. I think that those are probably your primary keepers. So again, we're probably going to expand upon that quite a bit more at a later date, but thanks for the question, mtummy2597. We've got two questions from Climaximus, and we're probably going to wrap it up there and save the rest of the questions here for maybe another episode later this week, perhaps tomorrow, perhaps Friday. So Climaximus asks, what odds did you place on Stan Van Gundy trading up in the draft and trading out of the draft for some win-now veteran aid? I think that this draft pick is going to stay put unless it's packaged for some sort of blockbuster deal. Pretty unlikely. A big reason there is that the Pistons are so cap-strapped. There is going to be a lot of value to having a young player who is on a rookie scale contract and under team control for the next, you know, 2 to 4 seasons. And then, of course, the team control doesn't relinquish considering the fact that restricted free agency is a thing. And, you know, but in the meantime, like, you've got that cheap contract, you've got a guy who's got upside, almost certainly, and you've got him for, I believe, the first year rookie contract for the 12th pick is in the right in the neighborhood of $2 million. So on a team that is as cap strapped as this team is, you need to have you got to have cheap labor. You got to have some affordable talent, and if you can get that with upside, like a lottery pick in this draft should have, I think that's something that they need to keep. As for trading out of the draft for some win now veteran aid, I think you might find the Pistons being a bit more likely to go the minimum free agent veteran route. For example, Joel Anthony. He's a free agent after his season with the Spurs. He'll be on the open market. We'll see if there's any interest in him. He's a guy that the Pistons know. He's a guy that the Pistons like. You know, it's hard to say exactly how much, if there's any ill will between the Pistons and Joel Anthony after they tried to trade him as part of the Domantas Moneyunas trade, and that ended up not working out, and he ended up returning to Detroit. So, I mean, you might find a guy like Joel Anthony being a decent free agent target. I don't know if the Pistons would be trying to trade out of the lottery, and or trading out of the draft entirely in order to get win now veterans. And for that matter, you asked about win now veterans. I don't know that there are a whole lot that are available, and for that matter, affordable for the Pistons, unless it was part of a blockbuster deal. I suppose my question is more answering what I think is more likely, in that they're going to want sort of a locker room dad, so to speak. So I think that the Pistons are going to keep that 12th pick. I think that's the heavy favorite of all options to go forward right now. Clem Maximus also asks, how do you think Tom Gorris would evaluate Van Gundy's performance so far? And is a dual role position too much for any one person to do optimally? First off, I think Gorris would probably evaluate his performance pretty reasonably so far. I think that a lot of the decisions that Van Gundy has made have been the best decision that was in front of him. He has pretty much fleeced everybody he's traded. He's made some savvy free agent signings. Basically, like, John Lohr was a logical signing. He dropped off the face of the earth for the second half of the season, but he did bring to the table what he was supposed to bring to the table. Or rather, it made sense that what he would bring to the table is something that would fill what the Pistons needed. They needed a guy that could get out on the perimeter, who could defend. They needed a guy who could shoot threes. And, you know, until coming to Detroit, he was a reasonable three-point shooter. His season in Detroit was an unmitigated disaster from long range. Using Lure as an example, he just didn't work. He has not worked out the way that it's been hoped. But the signing of Lure made sense. The Reggie Jackson trade was a steal. The Tobias Harris trade was just like a steal of epic proportion from the Orlando Magic. As far as Van Gundy, the coach, I think that he came into a situation that wasn't exactly what he thought. He thought that he had a Dwight Howard type, a dominant interior big man, and that he could build his four out one in system, and use Drummond as the focal point. And it didn't really work out that way. Drummond is not quite the guy that you can build that around. He can't demand double teams in the post. I think probably when Drummond gets the ball in the post, teams' mouths water. They want him to get these post touches because he's putting up these hopeless jump hooks from 9 feet out, where he doesn't set his feet. He has no idea where the basket is when he makes his move. And like a guy like that isn't getting doubled. And when he is, it's a quick trap that he doesn't see coming, that he can't get the ball out of. And he's just not quite the guy that I think Van Gundy thought that he was getting, and that Gores thought he was when this whole thing came together. So I think some of the growing pains to the Pistons has been a process of figuring out exactly how to utilize him on offense. Obviously, like, as a pick and roll man, the Pistons function quite well to the pick and roll, especially when Jackson is right. So I think that there has been some misfortune and some missteps, but I don't know that Gorris would necessarily fault Van Gundy, nor do I think that he really should fault Van Gundy for them. He's not blameless, but I also don't think that that Gorris is going to give him a poor evaluation as a result. I do think the dual role position in general is too much for any one person. But then we don't exactly know how the division of labor is set up between Tom Gorris, or pardon me, between Stan Van Gundy and Jeff Bowers. Of course, Bowers is the general manager, and he does a lot of the day-to-day stuff. So we don't exactly know how much of this operational team building kind of business is at the feet of Van Gundy alone. I think that Goris did it again. Pardon me. I think that Bowers handles the lion's share of that work. So I don't know if this is particularly one of those situations where we're just going to look at it and say that Van Gundy is just overmatched by having the two roles. I think that a lot of it is a lot of the personnel, team building, day-to-day stuff. I think Bowers swallows up the vast majority of those duties. So I don't necessarily know if this is a situation that specifically applies to the Pistons or Van Gundy in particular. So thanks for the question, Clem Maximus. It looks like we're going to have at least one more podcast worth of questions here because you guys were highly cooperative, and I'm grateful for it. If we have high interest in the Pistons Reddit, then we're going to do a lot of these. I definitely enjoy my interactions with you guys in there. So with that, we're going to wrap up for now. We'll be back with you tomorrow, as always, Monday through Friday, on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Once again, you can follow me at Duncan Smith NBA. You can catch my work on Piston Powered, and go ahead and follow that site at Piston Powered as well. So thanks for listening, and we'll catch you here tomorrow.